Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, where your host, Andy Jacob, interviews leading entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs about their incredible companies and discusses their unique entrepreneurial journeys. If you're the CEO or founder of an exciting and exceptional company, the editorial team of .com Magazine welcomes you to pitch your business story to appear on this exciting interview series by reaching out to Mr. Jacob at .com Magazine at .commagazine.com. And without further ado, here is another amazing entrepreneurial story on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Good afternoon, everyone. Andy Jacob here with the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. I have an amazing show today. You know, so many people reach out to me and they say, Jake, they say, you know, we love your show and we love to have someone come on the show to talk specifically about negotiation. So we searched our files. We reached out to a few experts in negotiation, and we've been able to book the woman that I call the queen of negotiation. That's right, Miss Christine McKay, the CEO of Venn Negotiation. She's a business negotiation strategist. She has over 25 years of experience in international and domestic problems and solving complex issues for various companies. And she is the person that I call the queen of negotiation. So it's so exciting. I have so many questions. Let's get right to it. Christine, welcome to the show.
Oh, Andy, it's an honor to be here. And it's great to see you. Awesome. Thank you.
This really is awesome. I've got so many questions, but let's do what we always do at the beginning of the show before we talk about Venn and negotiating, what the Venn means and how you make win-win situations for negotiation, and tell us about Venn negotiation.
So Venn Negotiation is a full service negotiation services firm. We provide everything from training to negotiation services where we actually coach or we lead negotiations on behalf of our clients. McKinsey & Company just released a study a few weeks ago saying that 73% of enterprises are about to implement a new C-suite position called the Chief Negotiation Officer, heading up Negotiation Centers for Excellence. Venn Negotiation is on a mission to reduce business failure rates, and we are doing that by being the negotiation center of excellence for small and mid-sized companies.
I love it. And there's so many companies that need to have a chief negotiation officer. And if they don't, they certainly need to have their C-suite executives and even members of their sales team or other parts of their team reach out to a company like Venn to learn how to negotiate better. You know, when we started the show prior to recording, I had to ask you about Venn, and you gave me a great answer. And it really sort of brings the listener and the watcher and the viewer of the show inside what you do. So maybe you could explain what Venn is all about and how you came up with that name.
Well, Venn is after Venn diagram from mathematics, and it's a three-circle Venn diagram because there are always three parts of every successful negotiation. There's you, there's your counterpart, and there's the situation you are negotiating. And a successful deal, an optimal deal, happens within that intersection of all three of those elements.
I love it. It makes all the sense in the world, Christine. And obviously, you're an author as well. Your book, Why Not Ask? A Conversation About Getting More, is a must read for anyone interested in this field, which should be everyone, because everyone needs to negotiate in their life, whether you're negotiating a big deal at a company or negotiating with your child to do their homework, let's just say, for example. So you've worked on so many, you know, small to mid-sized companies and have negotiated with many Fortune 500 companies. So when we think about negotiation, let's start sort of at the baseline level for the viewers. What's the most important thing to think about when you start a negotiation with someone?
So when I talk about negotiation, it's really the big thing for me is to stop trying to win your negotiations, because negotiation is a conversation about a relationship. and you cannot win a relationship, but you can get more value out of it. And so really, I mean, we've had, I mean, you see it in Hollywood, you see it in politics, you see it all over the place. People think about negotiation as this winning thing. And as soon as I was fortunate enough and blessed to have gone to Harvard and learned from the professors who are part of the program on negotiation. And we used to get into really awesome debates, philosophical discussions about the concept of win-win. And for me, it's like, because I learned, I started negotiating in Southeast Asia in the early 90s when women were not in the business. There were no women in business there. And in some offices, in the smaller offices, there weren't even women's bathrooms. So I had to learn a very different style. I could not be the classic American woman running into, you know, Jakarta, Indonesia, and with my guns ablazing. I had to find a different way. And what I learned through my time working, starting in Southeast Asia, but even extending into both Eastern and Western Europe, is that if I focused on the relationship and if I stayed curious about my counterparts and I stayed curious about myself and the situation, which hence the Venn diagram, then that made all the difference in the world in being able to get to an outstanding agreement for everybody so that everyone walked away from the table happy. None of this, it's a good deal if everyone walks away unhappy. No, everyone walks away happy. That's when you know you have a good deal.
That's fantastic. And you have a great quote, one that you're famous for, that says, negotiation isn't about winning. It's a conversation about a relationship, and you can't win a relationship. And I love that so much. It makes all the sense in the world. So what you're really doing, it sounds like, Christine, is you're changing the nature of negotiation. And what you've been able to do is put together all of these fantastic programs for companies and for people to learn how to negotiate better. When people come to you, Christine, what's the conversation sound like? Like, what's that first conversation when a company calls you up? Do they have a specific need for a specific negotiation that they're going into, or do they want to learn generally how to negotiate better?
It depends on the company, actually. There are smaller businesses, I find, they want somebody to come in and negotiate for them, because especially if they're negotiating with a big company. So in 2020, right, during the height of the pandemic, I was doing a lot of renegotiating with landlords. And I was working with small retailers who were negotiating with multi-billion dollar REITs out in the market who had, you know, who didn't care, who didn't give a darn whether that small retailer went out of business. And so how you figure that out. And these were, there's just people who are like, I don't want to deal with these guys. I don't have a good relationship. They're my landlord. I can't stand them, whatever. I just don't want to deal with it. So we'd go in and negotiate on their behalf. But then we have other clients who are larger, who have procurement organizations or sales organizations. In the sales side, it's often companies that are growing, and the way that they're growing is trying to go upstream to larger customers, to working with more enterprise customers. But their sales team is really geared around dealing with smaller businesses. And that leap it's a big difference when you're selling to, you know, a small telco versus a Verizon or a BT. It's a totally different game, completely different negotiation that goes in process. And then on the procurement side, it's really those companies who, again, they're still dealing with large, they may be a subcontractor dealing with a large company, and they, you know, the large companies, you know, slides the contract across the table and says, we're not going to negotiate. And we are like, we don't play that game. So we're going to do this a little differently this time. So those are a lot of our situations. And then it went on the consulting side. And then we do training across sales. And, you know, we do training for individuals as well.
That's so interesting. And obviously, you've been able to master providing these negotiation services to your clients. I want to talk about the VenPro services, because this is the one where you take the reins over in the negotiation, or you provide the consultation, the consultative expertise for your clients to get more out of what they want. So how does that work? I mean, that sounds so interesting. Like, I need to negotiate. I'm a business owner, or my C-suite's executives are negotiating, and I say to myself, you know what, guys or gals, I'm bringing Ben in. They can handle the whole thing for me. Is that sort of the way that it goes down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have some clients who I've come in on one deal, and it's been kind of a one deal. And then, you know, maybe in the future when they get another one of those similar deals or a big deal, they'll invite me back. I've had other clients where I'm on retainer with them so that I advise them on all of their major accounts and all their major negotiations. I have other situations where I've, you know, negotiated. I'm working with a small hedge fund out of Boston. They're looking at moving into, you know, the recreational cannabis industry. And so we're helping them develop an entire plan over, you know, they started out having a specific target, and then we're looking and saying, is that the right target? Is there other alternatives in the market that would actually yield better outcomes in that situation than negotiating with that particular entity? So really it's kind of, it's kind of broad. And so that's part of what I love about this work and about what we bring to the market is, you know, negotiation. The most important part of negotiation is the process of negotiation. It's very formulaic. It's a lot more formulaic than people realize it. Certainly the psychology, once you're engaged with somebody, is much more subjective. But 70% of negotiation is all in the preparation of it. And that's all process oriented. And so I can bring that process to anything. And as long as I have access to team members, et cetera, then we can figure out the right solution for our clients.
That's fantastic. That makes all the sense, Christine. And, you know, I want to get into the Venn Masters and the Venn Masters corporate program, because I know that's going to be very interesting to many of the people watching the show. But before we do, when you enter a negotiation, should you know where you want to end up before you go into the negotiation? How does that work? You know, what do you teach in that regard? Because that's a question that a lot of people ask and they don't know the answer to.
Well, the number one thing is you have to be very clear on what it is that you want. And I have a saying that you put your goals in concrete and your plans in sand. So you want to be clear on what it is you want, down to just the minute level of detail, because it's in that detail that's where your options are. That's where your trade-offs lie. And you want to be able to be flexible. Like I had this conversation with somebody actually on LinkedIn just yesterday, and the conversation was around non-negotiables. And I don't believe largely in non-negotiables. The non-negotiables are my values. Those are not negotiable. I can't negotiate oceans, mountains, waterfalls, rivers, but even those are navigable. Everything else is negotiable. It depends on how you get to it. So it goes back to that word, my favorite word, and kind of one of the core values of Venn negotiation is curiosity. It's like, know what you want, but be flexible to listen to what your counterpart wants and needs, and explore and get curious about whether there are options to achieve that. Research shows that for most people in a business negotiation, there's 42% more value available to the negotiators than they realize. But because all they're doing is looking at what's right in front of them or what they're used to looking at, they're missing those opportunities to create more value.
Wow, that's so interesting. And obviously, the negotiation of the olden days where you pound the table and you put your line in the sand and you play tough guy or gal, you know, obviously there's some times for that. But in the Venn Masters program, for example, Christine, you teach a training program that's really designed to change the way your clients think and the way they think about negotiation. So let's talk about that, because I found that to be very interesting.
I am super excited about this program. I really designed it with taking adult learning in mind. I take negotiation training classes all the time. I'm constantly taking training. I want to learn different ways of doing it, different ways people teach it. And what I found is that it's taught pretty much the same way everywhere. And pretty much everyone I know who's taken most negotiation training has not entirely been satisfied with it. So I've worked with a bunch of people to create a different way of doing it. So we use film, we use literature. I have a guest person coming in to do a guest presentation on listening, and he's a musician, and we're going to use music to teach, to show the importance of listening and to give people a different way of thinking about themselves in the act of listening, and which is a different kind of approach to thinking about it. It's a 6-week long program with then followed by 2 intensive days of just solid negotiations. So it's a very practice intensive program with real time feedback. I literally sit in some of the negotiations, and I'm like, how did you feel when your counterpart said this or did this? Or what if you had used this piece of information that you had? And really to try to challenge people to think about how their preconceived notions. We even do an exercise because I do a lot of work around negotiation styles. And we even do an exercise where you practice at a style that's not your default. And which gets people really outside their comfort zones. But negotiation style can be a strategy, can be part of your tools versus just something you do and the way you are. And so I'm really excited about the program. And it's very different, and I'm super excited about it.
I love it, Christina. Definitely caught our eye, and we want to talk about the Venn Masters corporate program. But before I do, I'm going to ask a tough question to the queen of negotiation. Is there ever a time to walk from the table?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That goes with clearly defining what it is you want out of the negotiation. You know, I was literally just on the phone with a woman who is exploring a career change, and she has this career opportunity in front of her, and she's not very excited about it. She's been in her company for a long time. She feels like she needs to change, but there's some things coming down the road that are kind of appealing to her. And I'm sitting there listening to her, and I'm like, this offer she has in front of her, just listening to her talk, is not compelling enough for her to say yes. So in my mind, if she had more clarity on what it is that she wanted, she would thank them for the offer to help them fill that position, and then she would move on and still be able to maintain that relationship with that company. But there are lots of times, I say, you know, if somebody's being a bully at the table and they're treating you poorly and disrespectfully, really step back and evaluate, what's happening with this person? Is this person just like that? Because if they're like that, they're going to be even worse once the deal's signed. If it's something that's happening that's triggering them to behave that way, then you want to explore what it is that could be triggering them to behave that way and have an open and candid conversation about what is going on and why they are behaving that way. But for me, if it's somebody who's just is that way and they're just inherently disrespectful, I have no time for that. There are too many nice people in the world to do business with. I do not need to do business with bullies. So,
I love it. And I would think that if you find a bully, let's just say, and you continue the negotiation with that person and you get to the finish line, I would imagine that's the beginning of a nightmare relationship, because, you know, you're kind of knowing who you're negotiating with, and they're not going to change after the negotiation, or do they change?
They often don't change. Now, if you're negotiating with a larger company and you have somebody who calls him or herself a negotiator and they're just, you know, jerks to deal with, and all they're there for is to get the final dime, you know, and those people definitely exist. That absolutely happens. In a bigger organization, what happens is those negotiation teams go away, and you don't usually have to work with them until the contract comes back up for renewal. So when you're negotiating with a larger organization or a company that has many departments, make sure you have a clear understanding of who's who and what role all of them play in terms of moving the relationship forward. Because that's still going to leave a bad taste in your mouth, right? Even if you have the best working relationship at the business, at the operating level, if you know that salesperson or that procurement person is going, or legal or risk or whatever, that they are just going to be absolute nightmares to deal with, you will generally walk away from the table feeling like you did not get a good deal. And that doesn't feel good for anybody. And then when you don't feel like you got a good deal, that starts raising trust questions. And those questions, if those questions come into play early in your relationship, they're just going to get magnified with every mistake, every misread email. Like, it's just going to get bigger and bigger. And those relationships generally don't last.
That's very interesting, Christine. Earlier in our conversation, you had mentioned that it's different negotiating, let's say, with a Fortune 500 company versus, let's say, a smaller company. There's some certain things that are different. But I would imagine one thing that's the same is you have to prepare. And you mentioned that preparation is a real key component of getting ready for a negotiation. So let me ask you this question. When you're preparing your group to learn how to negotiate, is it important to know who you're negotiating with? So in other words, are there ways to find out about the negotiation style of the people that you're about to negotiate with, so you kind of have a little bit of an understanding of the way in which they're going to approach the negotiation?
Well, it's very important to me to have an understanding of who I'm negotiating with, because the two of the things that we have in common at the negotiation table are our humanity and the fact that we all have our own life experiences. And so I want to have an understanding of who this person is that's going to be there. And I do that in a variety of ways. I mean, I always want to make sure who's going to be at the meeting. That's part of setting a meeting, is like, who's going to be in attendance, what's their title, what's their role, right? Then I go and I do research. I look at them up on LinkedIn. I look at their Facebook page. I look for any articles they've written. If they are, you know, if I know have anyone in common with them, I might actually pick up the phone. And if it, depending on how big of a negotiation is and how high stakes it is, I might pick up the phone to somebody who's a mutual connection and, you know, just ask them a little bit about them. And, you know, so that I can get a handle on, you know, who this person is. And, you know, most people are actually really amazing to deal with. And it's just those, there are just a few sour grapes or sour apples, however you want to do it, however euphemism you want to use that make it bad. And Hollywood exacerbates it, that makes it bad for the rest of us. But most people want to do what's right. They want to meet their objectives, and and that's, you know, obviously very important to them, but they don't really want to screw you over or anything. But that preparation definitely comes down into play in terms of understanding who they are as a person, not so much as a negotiator. It's hard to figure that out before you get to the table. I can tell how they might communicate, like if they are somebody who likes long meetings and lots of people involved and all that, I can tell that. Or are they somebody who prefers texts and, you know, doing 15 minute calls, right? I can figure that part out. But their negotiation style sometimes is driven by a trigger that I don't understand. And so that's, again, it goes back to that curiosity in terms of understanding who a person is.
That's great. I'm sure with the curiosity portion of your training, it's important to ask the who, what, where, when, why, and how questions, so you can learn more by asking questions as you're negotiating. But one thing that was very interesting, Christine, when we were sort of reading the portfolio of offerings that you had, one thing that just stood out and it popped off the page was the Venmasters Corporate. And the thing that we found really interesting about that is, you know, you can tailor your program to meet any company's needs. And what we really thought was interesting is you're enhancing a team's negotiation skills and you create a unified approach to their negotiation strategy. But the thing that really caught our eye, this is like the kicker, was that you leverage current or past examples from the company on what they've done prior to help the team that's currently negotiating the newest deal. So let's get into that, because that just seems so interesting and really like impactful from our standpoint.
Well, I think, you know, I've worked a lot in procurement organizations and I've worked in sales organizations. And one of the most aggravating things for me when I was working in those organizations was when someone would come and try to train me using case studies that had no relevance to what the heck I was doing. And it was frustrating, and you could see it. You could see it. People would sit and go, they just don't get us. They just, you know, they just this, they just not that, whatever. And so for me, I can take any contract and I can look at that relationship. I can look at the history of that relationship, and we have a process that we go through that says, okay, what's the history of this relationship? What baggage is coming? Whether, let's say it's an existing relationship, what baggage is coming with us in this relationship, right? What baggage did we bring to the do we have at the table? And what baggage do we think they have at the table? And we take those relationships and we create a holistic approach to how to then negotiate it with it. So the ideal situation is when I have somebody who has a contract renewal coming up and we go, how do we make this contract better? Now note the question. It's not like, you know, we look at the baggage, but the question is, how do we make this relationship better? Because that's what we're really trying to do. And so, and it's really fun to see people on a team getting excited about how do we make this better? And then it's like, then it becomes not just better for us, but it becomes better for other people too. And the other, our counterparts too. And it's a very different, it takes a different avenue. And the fact that you're using the number of salespeople I know who've never read one of their contracts is astronomical, right? And when you are teaching somebody in sales, like you to really understand how to leverage and build the relationship is more than just taking them to a sporting event. It's more than just taking them out for a nice dinner. It's understanding in depth their business and how your contracts impact their business so that you can figure out how to leverage that information and build again a better deal for everybody.
I love it. It's really what I call the positivity bias, because you're going in trying to make it positive for both of the parties. And if you go in with that mindset, ultimately good things are going to happen. So it's sort of almost the old fashioned looking at the glass as half full versus half empty. You want to go in a positive manner saying, what can we do together to empower both of our groups to become better from combining this effort to do business together? And it's really, really powerful. And it makes all the sense in the world. You know, Christine, We talk about on the show, we call them mini Harvard MBA events. And we talk about when entrepreneurs hit an obstacle, when they hit a roadblock, when they hit something that they can't get past or they think they can't get past. And we talk about when, you know, because you went to Harvard, when you go to Harvard, the professor is going to give you case studies. There's going to be lectures. You're going to do, you know, group work, and you're going to come to some understanding of the complex problems that are presented, but they're in a classroom. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurs, they have to deal with it on the ground. They have to deal with it with their feet firmly planted on the ground in real life, real world situations. So from the standpoint of a negotiation expert, which I call you the queen of negotiation, how do entrepreneurs negotiate, if I can use that term, in this particular question, those roadblocks and those potholes in the road as they're moving along their entrepreneurial journey?
So it goes back to that clarity statement. One is absolutely being clear on what it is you really, really want. And, you know, a lot of times when we say that we know what we want, but if you really dig a little deeper, we go, wait, I hadn't thought about that. I tell a story about how I bought brand new cars for the price of one plus $5,000 once. And I did that because I got clear. And when I talk to people about this story and I'm like, what do you care about when you buy a car? Think of all the things that matter to you when you buy a car. And so they come up with, you know, the make and model, reliability, gas mileage, price, you know, just all these things that are about this deep. And then I say, ask them the question, do you want it today or are you willing to wait for it? because that drives economic value for both the buyer and for the dealer as the seller, right? And it's like taking that so you have this high level view of what you think you want, and we say, well, this is what I want, but there's actually one and two layers deeper into that question that we often don't give ourselves permission to explore deeply enough. When we go deeper and we have that deeper understanding, that is when we get clarity. And that gives us the power, the leverage to say no, to walk away, or to say yes. The other thing that entrepreneurs, I think, do that so frequently that's not as effective as they might think it is that the entrepreneur, the owner, the founder, is the one negotiating their big deals. And the reality is that negotiation automatically is an emotional thing, because as soon as we want something from somebody, our emotion is fully engaged, far more than our logic is. And when it's your baby and you've built this thing and you've clawed, kicked, scratched, bit, you've did all the things within your ethics to be able to grow this thing, and you've got somebody sitting across the table telling you things that you don't want to hear, the immediate reaction is to get defensive, to get angry, to either get angry, to get defensive, it's the whole fight or flight thing, or to run away and, you know, and kind of hide. And so sometimes it makes sense to have somebody who's not you doing that negotiation. And at best, at least, you should have an advisory board. If you're an entrepreneur, have an advisory board and make a commitment to your advisors that you are going to bring big deals to them to have a dialogue. That way, then when you're at the table, you can tell your counterpart, you know, this deal rises to the level of a different set of structure for us because I have an advisory board and I've told them that I'm going to bring these kind of deals to them. We have our next meeting on this date, and I will come back to you. You have one, just elevated yourself because you have a level of structure that most entrepreneurs don't have. Two, you've indicated how important this deal is to you, right? So that your counterpart now believes that this is like super important, that you're putting that kind of time and respect to it. And three, you've given yourself an out because you can now say, I agree with this in principle, but I got to take it to my advisors, because you're almost never negotiating with the ultimate decision maker on the other side either. They always have somebody else. Even a CEO is not the ultimate decision maker in the company. The board of directors is. And oh, wait, not even then. Sometimes it's the shareholders. So it's like always thinking about that and figuring out ways to give yourself an out, giving yourself the ability to kind of pass the torch to say, okay, I need somebody else to look at this. And it goes back to that you part of that Venn diagram, knowing you and what you are like in a negotiation, and knowing whether you are the right person to be negotiating that deal or whether you actually need somebody else to do it.
That is such great advice. And for the entrepreneurs watching the show, rewind that over and over and listen to that three or four times. You know, it's just so interesting. I've spoken to so many entrepreneurs, and one thing that the great ones say is that if you can get out of your own way, if you can have people and surround yourself with people that will tell you things that maybe you don't want to hear, and set your ego aside and listen to what they're saying and use it in a powerfully impactful way for you and your company, it's a much better way to go than to surround yourself with people that are only telling you what you want to hear. And I think this sort of falls in line with that sort of negotiation strategy, Christine. I know I've kept you way over, and I'm sorry I have, but I was so excited to get you on the show. I have one more question for you. I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit, but I think you can handle it. Because, you know, we do have, and we mentioned it earlier, that sometimes you have to negotiate with your teenage kids about, you know, doing their homework. So let's talk about negotiation, if you will, within a family, because there is some negotiation going on, obviously, all the time. Are there just some sweet spot things that you can share with the listeners about, you know, if you have to negotiate with your husband or wife, or, you know, your boyfriend or girlfriend or your children or what have you, that to sort of keep it on a high level and keep it filled with love and compassion and kindness?
So there are a couple things I'd say. One, especially, listening is an important thing no matter what you, in all communication, right? But listening is a full contact sport. It requires all aspects. It's more than just with your ears. It's with your eyes, the nonverbals, listening and hearing tone, and not just the words that are coming about, posture, things, and kind of paying attention to overall. So often we are trying to multitask, which the brain is not actually physiologically capable of doing, but we're doing multiple things while we're theoretically listening to our partner or our kids, which means that in essence, we aren't listening to them at all. You know, if somebody you care about is trying to have a real meaningful conversation with you, stop what you're doing. Put it down, shut the stove off, you know, put the controller down to Zelda and listen and look at them, just look at their face and watch what they're saying. It sounds simple, because it is, it's just hard to do. The idea is simple, but it's hard to do. But listening, just taking that time to just stop and just plant yourself and say, and acknowledge, choose, because it is a choice, choose to focus on your loved one and what he or she is trying to tell you. And then my next thing can be kind of controversial, I guess, in some circles. I would highly encourage people to stop asking the question, why? So why is one of my very dear mentors is a gentleman named Blair Dunkley. And he's the one who kind of got me all into this. And the more I see it, I mean, I quit asking why as a negotiator decades ago, because it always gets the same response, which is because, and you can't do anything with because. But what why does is it causes people to be defensive. It means you're questioning them, you're challenging them. You're telling them that without using exactly these words, but what you're communicating to them is that you think that there's a better way or a different way of doing something. And so I would encourage people who are tuned in today to try to practice when you're about to ask why, catch yourself and ask what or how, and try a different question and see what happens, see what outcome you get. I'll be dying to see any feedback and comments on what people do when they stop asking why question.
Wow, Christine, that's remarkable. When I said earlier, the who, what, where, when, why, and how, and why questions, I should have left why off of there. But wow, this is great. And you're going to get me in a little trouble because my wife is going to listen to the interview and she's going to make me listen to the part about the focus probably 15, 20 times in a row. So because you're right, we just can't do it all. We think we can, but in order to listen, in order to really understand what's going on, you need all of your mind and body and spirit in the conversation. You can't be floating off on your, you know, thinking about something else while you're listening to another thing. And that's very important. Christine, this has just been so delightful. I can see why, you know, Venn negotiation is really building and burgeoning on a very high level with so many important companies, and you've got so many offerings that you can help people with, whether it's you know, the Venn Masters program, which we talked about, which was super cool, the Venn Masters corporate program, or any of the other programs that you have. You really take negotiation to a different mental level. And I love that so much. I'm going to listen to this over and over again, because just listening to you talk about it, I'm saying to myself, I've been negotiating wrong for the last 30, 40 years. I need to change everything I'm doing. And I'm sure people listening to the show are going to want to bring you in to help them as well. So Christine, thank you so much for coming on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. I know I held you over, but this was a lot of fun and I waited to get you on the show and I had so many questions for you. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Andy. It was awesome. I loved our conversation. Thank you for having me.